This is an interview with Mrs. Esther Schudmack for the Youngstown State University Oral History Department by Beth Kurzweig at the home of Mrs. Schudmack on May 20th. I'd like to ask you if you can give me a little bit of background about your family, your parents, and your brothers and sisters and that.
I was born in Europe, in Czechoslovakia. I was one of nine children. My parents were observant Jews. We lived in a small place. As much as I remember, we were at home, just five kids. The rest of them were married. I got a very good Jewish background and not strictly Orthodox. It was observed modern Judaism. I went to school in Czechoslovakia. It was a democratic country. We were very happy family life and very much together. The problem really is that World War II started in 1939 when I was 12 years old, and Czechoslovakia was occupied or liberated by many other countries, and it started the oppression of the Jewish people by taking away the stores and curfew put upon us. We had to wear the yellow star to identify as Jews. We could not go out. To a certain point it came that they started to expel the Jewish children from school. And then, toward the later years, like in 1942-43, we were absolutely not allowed to attend school. And my father, he was very keen on education, and he used to sit with us and help us as much as he could, because he could not go anymore work in the workshop where he worked, and most of us were home, and the 5 o'clock curfew for the Jewish people of the city brought us as a family more together, and we did a lot of home studies and a lot of self-education. After that, we were put into a ghetto and were taken to Auschwitz, where I was separated from my parents and separated from my sisters and brothers who were married, who had children. And I returned with five other of my sisters and a brother after a concentration camp. And we got together, we tried to rebuild a family without parents, without relatives. Went to from country to country. We were not well educated. As much as we were freed from a concentration camp, we were not free from all the anxiety and all the problems and all the difficulties that we went through in the concentration camps. We had to really put ourselves together somehow and rebuild our lives. We went from one country to the other. We ended up in every European country. Then we came back to Czechoslovakia. Then there too, communism started, and we could not stay there. We did not want to stay. I went back to Germany, and there I really started again, a little bit young, in my education. I started to study Hebrew, and that was like a preparation for going to Israel. And that was a PP camp, a displaced persons camp, where we were fed, we were kept in barracks. We had our freedom, many of the things were offered in education that included Hebrew, English. People who did one profession could go to other cities. But that was done by the UNRWA, that means the United Relief. And from there, we really picked up a little bit our life. It was difficult because guidance we did not get from parents anymore. All the guidance we got from other people, like from an older brother. And the general idea was each and every girl or boy did look to get married, to start a new life. And that's what happened to me. to say I was 18, I got married and I had a child in Germany. Then we went to Israel. In Israel, really, it was like a new life. I had to tackle a new language because I did not know any Hebrew. I had to start to adjust to a new life and a difficult life in 1949. I had a child. I worked in every field that's possible. Doing laundry for people, cleaning, I knew a little bit sewing. Everything that came because we had to live. But I was very unhappy. I started to go to night school. First thing to tackle with the Hebrew language, to learn it. I learned the Hebrew language. I was not happy with just knowing the Hebrew language. I started to take courses in education. That was something I loved, children. I organized children in the ghetto when I was 16, 17, to have a nursery, a kindergarten. It was my dream. I reached that in Israel. I went to school. It was not like here. You had to go 4 years to college. They had special teacher seminars. They gave you like tests, situations. What would you do in a situation of a child behaving in a certain way? I had to answer it. Most of my answers had to be good. I did not get the result. I ended up being a helper in a kindergarten teacher. And then I conducted my own kindergarten. I worked with children for years. Life in Israel was very difficult for us. The climate especially was difficult for me. Having here in Youngstown relatives, they helped us with papers to come out to the United States. So after 10 years, we came to the United States.
Okay, you had said prior to the beginning of the interview something about the difference between the schools here in the United States and the schools that you had gone to, as far as religious education was a part of secular education. Could you kind of go over that again?
Yes, I attended school in, it was under the Czech government. Our Jewish education was partly with a rabbi at home. He came to the home and started to teach prayers and Jewish education. In the later years, the school system had brought in religious education in the system of public schools. What really happened was there was set aside a subject which was called religion. The groups were divided into different religious sects, Jewish, Christians, there were Methodists, there were the Greek Orthodox. For the Jewish students came in, a teacher who was qualified teaching Bible in Hebrew and religion. For the Catholics, a priest or a reverend. And religion was studied in the public school. We were graded on it. It was on the report card, and it was part of our studies. Whereas here, religion is taught at the church and in the synagogue.
So really, all of your formal education in Judaism then would have really been taken care of in the public schools?
Some of it, yes. Some, or let's say part of it, was taken care in the public school. We studied the creation, we started with the creation studying in Hebrew, translated into the Czech language. And always brought up certain points and certain ethics that we do believe and were taught in both languages, Hebrew and the Czech. I think that each and every one in a class was looking forward to go to be separated and to go to their own respective classes. We did not create any problems among the students. After the hour, we met back for another subject in the classroom.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Okay, you left off with coming to this country. Let's push up a little bit to the present. You have two children, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Could you please explain to me a little bit about the type of Jewish orientation that they have received, both in the home and both as far as a formal education is concerned?
First thing, with my children, was a little bit different than with any American Jewish child. Because when we came to the United States, one of my daughters was 6 years old and the other was 12. They were raised in Israel. They had that feeling being part of a country where Judaism is political, religious, and every way you step, it is Judaism. Their background was very good. When we came to the United States, I kept a Jewish home. The language of prayer or of Jewish education was not foreign to them because we spoke Hebrew and we continue speaking Hebrew till today after 20 years. It's our first language to say, or third or fourth, to go back for myself.
When you were going from all the countries.
From all the countries, but to them, English and Hebrew, they are bilingual. Jewish education, most of it they got at home, and later on they did attend Hebrew school to be part of a congregation, part of Jewish education in the sense of the American way.
Okay, let's take a step backwards. In Israel, what kind of formal education did they get? How was the school system set up in Israel?
The school system is the same way like here. Only, the only thing, religion, Judaism, is part of the study because that's the history of Israel.
So it would be like our American history.
Yes. Your American history is the history of the land, and the history of the land of Israel is the Old Testament, going through the Bible to the ethics, and through the Talmud, and the pioneering of the people to Israel. Then everything comes into very automatically, because if you study the Bible in the school, that means in the third grade, right away they start the creation. They study the Bible and go into deep study of the Bible. I don't know how much prayer book is used in the class, possibly none, but there is no need for it, because certain prayers are taken out from the Bible, and it's explained in the five books of Moses. The five books of Moses are studied religiously and scientifically. It's looked upon every point of view in the Bible. And the student has a deep feeling about Judaism, about its history, and the life of the Jews in Israel and in the world.
Okay. I keep pushing us forward and backward. So there was really no type of Hebrew school per se then, or Sunday school per se, because it was a part of the regular
curriculum.
Right.
Yes, that has to be part of the curriculum. As much as they study world history, ancient history, and geography, everything that like any other country studies, plus the Bible.
Okay, let's kind of come across the waters again to the United States. What kind of educational experiences did they have here then when they came to the United States? First of all, did you immediately come to Youngstown?
Yes, immediately to Youngstown. We came to Youngstown like the beginning of summer. And they went just 1 month to public school.
Okay.
They had problems, language barrier, but that vanished very quick. They learned fast. They did not have any need of Jewish education, like Sunday school or Hebrew school, because they had that.
Mm-hmm.
They were so much ahead of their friends that going to Hebrew school on Sunday school would only be for them sitting there, and possible the way kids are today making fun of others that when they pronunciate a Hebrew word, they don't know it, and here I am, I speak the language. I did not send them to Hebrew school at all.
Okay. Did you think that there would be that type of problem then? You don't think that the other children would have seen them as someone that they could look to for information?
The difficulties were that they had problems in school. They had to cope with the English language. And the Jewish education that we offer here, now I'm speaking as a Hebrew teacher really, that we offer here to our students is after school. And I felt that it would be unnecessary for my kids to sit the 2 hours there just for the sake to be with their age children together.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, I preferred for them to study their English and the school to catch up with their friends in public school.
Okay. Let's forge ahead a little bit. You mentioned that you were Hebrew school teacher, which I know because I had you for many years. As a teacher then, because I think we're looking more at the teacher's perspective right now since your children did not attend, what were some of the things at the time that, say, for example, I was in school? What were some of the things that really were good about the Sunday school and the Hebrew school? How was it set up? How many days a week and that? Could you tell me a little bit about that? I know, but for the sake of taping.
Yes. It was set up 3 times a week. Each student attended 3 times a week for 2 hours a day. That means they finished their public school studies, their regular studies, and they were brought straight to Hebrew school. That means that they stayed extra 2 hours. And it was offered to them Hebrew as a language, Hebrew as prayer book, Bible and religion. And there was another hour where ethics, customs and ceremonies were taught. And each student studied 1 hour Hebrew, 1 hour customs and ceremonies, Bible or ethics or what was offered according to their age. Sunday school was from 10 to 12, which I understand very well at the time that here is one day I could sleep in, I have to go to Hebrew school. But Sunday was possible a little bit more fun for the students, because Sunday was a day where Hebrew conversation was taught, customs and ceremonies. We could spend more time on Israel music, singing, dancing. And I always thought about Sunday school that it's more a fun day than the big days. We thought that there was Saturday in between, there was a day of rest. And coming Sunday morning, I thought that the kids did not resent it as much as on weekdays, where I understand that every child would prefer to go to a game, play outside, or do anything else than to sit other 2 hours in school.
What about, you've mentioned some of the classes that were taken. Who was really the head of the Hebrew school, Sunday school? Was there a person designated to be like the director or the educational coordinator?
Yeah, it's a question to speak about where I worked. For example, the South Side, Borman, our rabbi was always the principal. He had written out the curriculum with the teachers. He wrote out, had a meeting, went over with the subject, with the teachers, and he was the one who guided us. And he was the one who supported us really and helped us, not only in the subjects, but also in understanding the problems that face our Jewish children at that time and today. In a other school on the north side, where I worked the other 2 days that I did not work here, the rabbi did not have such a big part in education. He was the leader of the congregation, but they had a hired principal who was a Jewish educator, a principal diploma, set up the school, prepared everything. It was very easy. We got everything handed down from by the principal, and it was a different setup.
It's kind of interesting to see that you had two different setups going here. Let's stick with the South Side for a couple minutes, and then we'll go up north for a bit. You said that the rabbi had worked with you as far as the curriculum was concerned. My first question is, were the teachers, in your estimation, first of all, were they certified teachers as far as, did they have a type of diploma? Or how were they seen as being competent in the areas of what they were teaching?
Not all of us were certified teachers, but all of us were dedicated teachers. And I found that a certificate in teaching does not make the teacher. And the dedication that those people who taught was so great, they were willing to sit hours with the rabbi and being instructed by him and help us, that all that, if they were certified or not, did not make too much difference. Because they were there at the time and they did the utmost of their ability.
Okay, as far as materials are concerned, okay, I take it that since they were dedicated, but they were not certified teachers that have a piece of paper that say that, did the rabbi work hand in hand with each of the teachers, and did the teachers do a lot of research and reading on their own in order to prepare for the classes?
The rabbi worked hand in hand, but each teacher did a lot of research. He got books, he got teacher's guides, did a lot of preparation for school. The 2 hours were just a small part that every teacher, I'm speaking for each and every teacher that I knew in the past, and I had 20 years behind me in teaching Hebrew. The reading and the preparation and the research, it was spent many hours that I don't think that a certified teacher spends as much time as a religious teacher does but not that they are dedicated.
So the preparation time that you had spent made you knowledgeable about the material, and because of the dedication, the mixture of the two,
yes,
then that it was a good learning situation.
Because teaching Hebrew for me was no problem. But when I was asked to teach in English, ethics, or the cycle of Jewish life, wants to change from a Hebrew teacher called to a social studies teacher, what do you call it? I had to do a lot of research, a lot of preparation. And I learned so much. I don't think I could learn it in school, but I learned in all the reading and research. I want to make a point that I can say I am mostly self-educated. I spent a lot of time in reading and studying. Although I went here to school, where you as a student would not realize that after I taught you, 6 o'clock, I ran to South High to be 15 minutes late to take American history, English literature, grammar. I don't know if you did diagramming, but I did. My God, I did. And I had 2 kids at home. I spent twice a week from 6 till 10 going to South High, because I felt the accent is there and it will be there always. My language would be a little bit better.
And the accent just adds to the charm of the individual.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, what about the types of materials that were available? Did you find AV material and different kinds of textbooks that were really, that you felt were quality materials that could be used by you to teach the students? Did you find any problems with lack of materials or lack of good materials?
There was lack of good materials in the past, because we speak about 20 years back. I did a lot of, I prepared my own material in Hebrew, a lot of it. No typewriter, nothing. Most of it was hand written, diddled, and so on. Although at those times we did not have even a diddle machine. We did not have a diddle machine. But today, the material for Jewish education good. The new method that I studied in Cleveland, I went for a 2-week course to Cleveland, which was oral video and visual records and all that kind of teaching language, which is very good, but not for a religious school. I found that the dialogues and all that goes with it for studying a language is proper to use in a public school, in a school where children come there for their grades. But to teach it in a religious school, it's a little bit too much, because we spend the time on dialogue and learning to speak the language takes up so much time that we forget what we want to convey really to the children. Language is a Hebrew, the spoken language in Israel, a everyday spoken language. But what I, as a teacher, would like my children to learn is the ethics, to understand what it means to be a Jew, to understand why do we still pray in Hebrew, why do we keep all our old traditions. What's all about to teach them the love of Judaism, to teach them to understand what it means to be a Jew in every sense. And that means living in the United States as free people, free of choice, free of religion, that I did not have, and to understand the suffering and the problems the Jewish people go through and went through in their lives, and it's still going on today for the reason that their religion is Judaism. And if the child will understand that, I think that will at least implant some of their understanding of our ethical beliefs.
Do you think that that any of this was done at our temple when I was there? Do you think any of what you just said was actually conveyed to the children?
I tried. I tried for a child to understand what it means to be a Jew and what it means to be proud to be a Jew. For me, it was much more easier to convey that to the children because of my past, of my suffering, the time of Hitler and losing all my family, and just one wrong commitment I had is the commitment that I was a Jew, I was labeled as a Jew. And if I reached anybody to understand just a little bit of the past, and to remember the past, because I don't know who said it, if you don't remember the past, you are doomed in the future. If that's right or wrong, that's...
One of the presidents made that statement. Those who do not learn history are fated to repeat it, or something like that.
Yes. And I try to convey it to you and to the rest of the students. Although I had to push the knowledge of Hebrew, and I think that to go back, far back, I find that today's Jewish education.